Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 30% off paints and stains July 18th through the 28th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hello and welcome to Alchemy 101, the show that highlights ways to transform our lives as we aim to mine a few nuggets that can support us in living in line with nature in a way that's true to our nature. Even though it might seem, at first, a bit counterintuitive, like a nightingale, a bird that sings out in the dark. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist. Thank you so much for joining me as we hear about a powerful connection with ancestors and how the past can help us heal the present. My guest today has a strong connection with his ancestors. He's James Kawainui, a native Hawaiian healer, mentor, and spiritual strategist. He comes from a lineage of healers, mystics, and priests that goes back over 20 generations in Hawaii. And he works with his ancestors to provide understanding, wisdom, and healing. Because our ancestors are always with us. Don't believe me? Well, apart from anything else, we carry their DNA in our very cells. But also my own experience is that their energy spans the centuries, and we can tap into that. Tune into their frequency if we're open to doing so. Sometimes we ignore their messages, and sometimes they give us no choice but to listen to them. That was the case with James as he left the corporate world to walk his true path. Not an easy journey, as so often happens, but I'll let him tell the story, starting at the beginning when I asked him how he became a healer.
Yeah, that is really a good question. And I just want to say, JJ, thank you for having me today.
You're very welcome. It's lovely to have you here.
I haven't done this all my life, you know, and it was something that I came to very reluctantly. And I would say a few years before it actually happened, and I'll talk a little bit about what happened. This strange thing started occurring around me. I was working in a rather large company. You know, it was a company that had 7,500 people, and we had 8 facilities spread across the United States. And I basically worked my way up through the ranks and was becoming more of an executive manager. And this strange thing happened, and people started showing up in my office one day. I had worked on a friend, some friend that, I mean, one of my buds, you know, my friends in the company, had come to me one day and said that he had a sore shoulder. And I said, okay. And I said, sit here. And tell him to sit. So I said, he sat down, and I just stood behind him, not knowing what I was doing. And I started moving my hand across his body and about this far off, you know, a couple inches off his body. And I started moving my hand across his body, and my hand landed on a place. And I said, oh, you mean your pain is here? And he said, yeah. And so I did something, and his pain went away. And he was like, that was amazing. And he left. And I was a little dumbfounded because I didn't know what was going on. And so that started this very slow trickle of people that showed up in my office complaining or talking about pains and aches and things. And I realized that when I did that, when I put my hand and I ran my hand around their body, I was able to find where that was. And then I would do things, which I didn't know what that was at the time. And their pain would go away. And they would walk away amazed, and I would be dumbfounded, and I go, what's happening? And this kind of put it out of my mind. And then the next iteration of that is that people started coming in and closing their doors and telling me all the stuff that were happening in their lives. And I'm sitting on the other side of my desk going, what is going on? And they would be telling me all these things, and then I would say something that would make this difference. And then they would look at me and go, wow, thank you so much. That was so helpful. And walk out. And so this happened for about 2 or 3 years, off and on. And then I got another position in the company that moved me away from where I had been for about 15 or 18 years. And worked for that part of the company for about 2 years, but it was a miserable job and I hated what I was doing. And one evening I came home from work and I was sitting on the sofa and just kind of not liking myself or my life or anything else. And I had a hand, felt a hand come and tap me in the back of the head, literally. And I turned around and looked, and all there was a wall behind me because I was sitting on the sofa in my living room, and a voice that said, it's time to go home. And I looked at my wife and I said, what the F are we doing here? And she says, I don't know. This is your idea. And so I went in the kitchen and I picked up the phone and I called my sister back in Hawaii. And I said, who's living at the beach house? We had this shanty of a house on the beach, on the Big Island. And she said, no one. And I said, I think I'm coming home. And so I walked into my boss's office the next day. He was the president of our division, and I was one of his senior managers. And I said, I quit. And I sold everything that I had, and I moved back to Hawaii. And for 4.5 years, I literally lived in about a 6 meter by 6 meter shack that had no. That had no windows, that had a tin roof. It was screened in around it, so you were open to all the elements, and it had no electricity and no running water. So I went to from living this very high flying life where I was traveling around in a corporate jet, and I had a huge expense account and wining and dining high end clients, to basically living as a hermit, really. And I realized now that what I was doing was I was dumping my old life as this other side was coming in, because that hand that hit me in the back of the head and that voice was my ancestors. And they were talking to me. And I realized after I went back and I kind of looked around, I said, oh yeah, they've been kind of doing that for a while, but I had been ignoring them. And so that was 25 years ago. So the last 25 years has been this journey of coming more and more into relationship with them. And as I did that, realizing that I had a lineage that I was being asked to be responsible for, to share the understanding and I guess you would say the wisdom of our culture in that way. So
No, and so much comes to my mind when you're talking about all of that. I mean, you were a natural, you were an intuitive healer, obviously. You had that energy that was attracting people to you for that. So, but it happens, it does happen, doesn't it, that people like you and others, we get trapped in this other world, this
yeah,
corporate world.
in the matrix.
In the matrix, exactly. And it does take something pretty radical sometimes to get out of that, to shake yourself out of that.
It was pretty radical because my life turned around in that moment. I'm writing a book, and when I wrote about this, the one of the ways I described this is that my wife, my life fell apart and became clear at the same time.
And that is a great way of describing what might happen when we choose to step out of what is commonly known as the matrix. Your life does fall apart often because you have to shed all that stuff.
It was, and that's what those 4.5 years were, was the shedding of that while I really came to grips with what was going on. Because in the space of that, people that I did not know started showing up. I mean, literally, they would walk into my yard, and my yard was just, sand and dirt and dust. And people I didn't know would walk into my yard, and they would meet me, and we would start talking, and then they would say to me, "I see you doing this and this and this and this." And they were talking about people and teaching and being in front of large groups. And I would look at them, and I would say, "Sorry, excuse my language," I'd say, "You guys are fucking crazy." And I would tell them to leave, but it ha started happening more and more and more. And then I started hearing the voices then of that they were talking to me. And thank God I found people that guided me. That one of my she was a dear friend, was one of my first teachers, and she said, "The Hawaiians call you your kupuna, your answers." She said, "Your kupuna are talking to you," and she said, "There's no use running away because they're not going away." And it took me a few years to realize that.
And so were you studying Huna at the time, which is that it's not just a healing system, is it? It's a way of life,
Yeah, no, I
apparently.
wasn't studying Huna or anything else. I mean, what I wanted to do, and I had this urge for about 10 years before that, was to study Lomi Lomi. And it just so happened that down the street, I mean, literally 3 houses away from where I was staying at, was one of the people that was responsible for bringing Lomi Lomi out of Hawaii. Back in the 70s, and her name was Auntie Margaret Machado. And I remembered Auntie Margaret when she was young, because she used to come to our house and Lomi Lomi my grandmother, because my grandmother had had a stroke. So Auntie Margaret came to our house, and I found out later on, it was just recently after she had passed her state board for being a massage therapist. And in the 70s, what she realized was that the art was dying, and that Hawaiians were not wanting to learn Lomi Lomi. So she opened it up to the world, and for the next 30 years, people came to Hawaii to be with her. And I just happened to be living a few doors down, so I went down there and kind of wormed my way into Auntie's world. But Auntie, and it was funny, because from the very first moment I went to sit with her, and I didn't know what I was doing, and I didn't even know what any of this was. And she would come, and she was one of the only people that could get away with calling me Jimmy Boy.
I'll remember not to call you that.
She said, "Jimmy Boy, come and lomi lomi my legs," because she had got into an accident. And I said, "But Auntie, I don't know Lomi Lomi." And she'd look at me, and she'd smile, and she said, "She had Lomi Lomi my legs." And so she would actually ask people, she would students to walk down to the house, and they'd come, and they'd knock on the door, and they said, "Auntie wants to see you. Auntie's not going to do anything. She wants you." And so I would go down, and I would sit with her, and she opened the door for me, And at the same time that door was opening, my life was crumbling, All the pieces of my life was crumbling. A long, 23-year marriage finally fell apart because we were going in such different directions,
And again, these are things which some of us have to go through in order to get to that point where we can fulfill our potential, our passion, basically what we're here to do, which, and that's usually something that we've been pu pushing to one side for so long that it takes something drastic to actually bring it back into focus.
Oh yeah, they I realized when that all started that to resist that would just make my life way more challenging, and in some ways unbearable.
And so here you are now. You are full on working as a healer, a teacher. And what I think some people listening might be curious to find out is, what is Lomi Lomi? Can you describe what it is? Can you explain?
Lomi Lomi is a method of body work that embraces and uses a lot of energy, because one thing about and most indigenous cultures are like this, but especially Hawaiians, we had a very deep understanding of the movement of energy, how energy moves, not just through the body, but how energy moves through nature. And so Lomi Lomi is, the technique of Lomi Lomi. Lomi Lomi actually means to massage with the hands, right? And Lomi Lomi are really very long, very graceful strokes. But what you're doing is you're infusing and moving energy through someone's body as you're doing that. So it's this slow movement of energy and being able to find places. And this is one of the things that happens is you're actually looking for the places where energy is not flowing, because where energy is not flowing is usually where there's pain or some kind of discomfort or some kind of emotion that the body is holding on to. The way that I've come to understand is that all pain is emotional. And so when you start to understand the reasons for the pain, I mean the emotion, the pain, then you can actually work on the pain. And so it's the movement and the clearing of those blocked energies that is really, I would say, for in my humble opinion, is the definition of Lomi Lomi.
So there you go. And it's that understanding of the movement of energy that makes it so effective. Time for us to go to a break right now, though. I'll be back with much more from James Kauainui right after these messages from our station sponsors. Stay with us.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Alchemy 101 with me, JJ, the practical alchemist, and Hawaiian healer and spiritual strategist, James Kauainui. We learned about Lomi Lomi before the break, but I was curious to hear how much James's work today replicates or echoes the work of his ancestors. Here's James again.
I will say this as part of my journey, just so that we can connect the dots. It was after all of that fell apart in Hawaii, I got asked to go to New Zealand, and I knew I was going to go before I got asked, but I went there, and there were several different reasons why I had to go. So I went to New Zealand for 3 months, and ended up staying for 5.5 years. So and which is where I met my first true teacher, and he was a Maori healer. And basically when I met him, he said, "We've been waiting for you." So he'd been told by his ancestors and my ancestors I was coming, and he was tasked with the responsibility of showing me, teaching me what this thing was that was inside of me. And so I sat with him maybe not quite for 2 years, as he said, "This is who you are. This is how you're going to do this work, and this is why you're doing this." And it was a really interesting process of that, because he really helped me come into owning what that work is. And the Maori have a method of Lomi Lomi, but it's much more deep, and it's called Romi Romi, and it's actually acupressure and trigger point therapy, where they go in and they see it, and instead of very gently rubbing it out and moving it out like Hawaiians did, they just go in and they went like this. And he showed me what that was, but he gave me a deeper understanding of what energy was. And then there was a point where the ancestors went, okay, you have to go back to Hawaii. And they sent me back to, and then they said, you have to go live in the mainland because the people that are looking for you will not find you if you stay. Because my full intention was to live in New Zealand for the rest of my life. Because it was, even having generations of ancestry that go back in Hawaii, when I went to New Zealand, was the first time I actually truly felt at home.
Of course, the Maori on New Zealand and the Hawaiian people, they share a common ancestors, don't they?
Oh, we do, and our mythology and our origination mythology is very similar. We all come from, in some ways, the same place. The understanding in Hawaii is that in New Zealand, their migration was, they called nine wakas. So nine different canoes came at nine different times, bringing different tribes of people, and the wakas, one of the canoes, they believe came from Hawaii. And so we have a deep connection, Hawaii and New Zealand, and this very much mutual respect. They called me Tuakana when I first got there, and I didn't understand what that was. And I would just smile, and I was being polite, and I said, well, thank you. And then finally, after a bit had passed, I went, okay, I need to go find out that was. And it turns out that Tuakana meant elder cousin or distant cousin.
Ah, nice.
They were walking me home. And this is just people that didn't know who I was. Let's say that they would call me Tuakana. And that was when I started to really understand this. But to answer your question, fast forward about 8 years ago, the ancestors said, you have to learn how to do this a different way. They looked at they you know they basically said, you have to realize that your community is global, not local, and so you have to start doing remote work. And the reality is that I had already been kind of understanding that, but I had been very resistant to it. And they said, the only reason that you can't do it is because you don't believe it. And so over the course of the next year or two, I've slowly worked my way inside of that. So that by 2018, I was about 50% in person and 50% online. But they pushed me a little bit farther. And by the end of 2019, and I think they saw what was coming because they felt urgent. 90% of my clients were online. So when COVID hit, I was already ready for
You
what
were well
was,
placed.
you know, I mean, I've had a Zoom account for 10 years.
And when you were talking about going to New Zealand, what was running through my head was thinking, how lucky was that? And then I thought, no, it wasn't luck.
It wasn't luck. It was these synchronicities that kept happening.
But you were listening as well. You were listening to what was going on around you.
And when I wasn't, they would hit me over the head with
That happens too. I've had a lot of those. I think it's really fascinating. What I also feel is fascinating is, yes, you talk about how in Hawaii there's a very deep feeling for energy and how it moves through. And when you think about the Hawaiian islands and how they were formed, they're just one mass of burgeoning energy. Kilauea, the volcano on the Big Island, is constantly erupting. There's constant energy flow coming through Kilauea, and sometimes it's incredibly dramatic, and other times it's a bit quieter. But you've got this earth energy being manifest around you in such a huge way in Hawaii. It's probably no coincidence that Hawaiians feel earth energy, feel the energy that's all around us.
It's an interesting thing, especially to be on Hawaii Island, where the volcano is, right? Because there's not very many places on Earth where you get to feel primal energy.
No, right.
So just to think about that, when lava comes out of the earth, you have no idea how old it is. It could be billions of years old, but it's touching air for the first time. And that interaction with that primal energy that is coming from, it's coming from the center of the mother, right? So if you think about womb and womb energy and what that feels like, it's coming from the center of the mother, and it can be very brutal, but it's actually very beautiful as well. And so I watched lots of people that came to Kona or came to Hawaii Island that came with really big and grand ideas, and yet left very soon afterwards, sometimes with their tail between their legs, because they were not able to incorporate that energy inside of them. So the understanding of that energy in some ways helped reinforce, I guess you would say, that understanding.
Absolutely. And I have been to the Big Island, Hawaii, and I have stood on the not so hot lava field of Kilauea. And actually, at the time I was there, it was erupting, but the lava was just falling into the sea, which was an extraordinary sight. You're right, there is this primal energy there, which is extraordinary. And then the life that grows out of that, so the lava cools and hardens, and then it becomes really beautifully fertile soil, and the lushness of the vegetation is just incredible. For me, there was a certain quality to the energy of the plants and the vegetation around.
Pele was a lot of things, Pele being the goddess of the volcano, and she was just, she can be very destructive, and so the lava that flows that's outside of Kilauea, outside of Halemaumau, which is where she lives, right? But the lava that's outside of Kilauea can be very destructive, and yet the energy of Pele is also very fertile, and so that's what you're talking about, because the lava, the top layers of the lava break down. There's a lot of silica and there's a lot of nutrients that come up. So the soil is very rich, right? And so, lots of examples. And if you go online and you look and you say tree in the middle of the lava field, and you see this tree that's growing literally in the middle of nothing, and you wonder, how can it do that? And it's because of that. Hawaiians call it mana. Right, mana, life force energy. It's the life force energy that the earth holds. It's not the only place that has that. All land has mana, has life force energy, when we take the time to connect to it,
And
right?
that's the key, isn't it? Connecting to it, not allowing yourself to be disconnected from it, which our modern lifestyle often drives us towards that disconnection.
I think we're part of our responsibility is to help people find that connection. And the thing about it is, and I say this to people, it never went away. That connection that we have to the all that is, right? However you want to call it, the all that is, sometimes is as thin as one hair, right? Sometimes it feels like I'm being constantly flooded with the energy as it comes in, but that connection never goes away. And so I think part of our responsibility is reminding people that it's there and teaching people or sharing with them what that energy feels like when it's moving through their bodies, because that's where we get the disconnect, is we don't feel anymore.
Absolutely. And I don't know if whether you feel this, but I also feel that we almost have a duty to teach people how to do that. It's not just a question of doing the healing. That's fine. That's great, and helping people, but showing them how to reconnect and how to tap in to that energy themselves so that they might heal themselves.
The healing is one aspect of it, right? And yet I think the more important aspect of this, for me anyway, is empowering people. You know, I'm a real big proponent of giving people tools. You know, I look at people when they come to me and I said, you're not a permanent client. Although I've had people that have been working with me for, 15 years, they come because there's always another aspect that they're looking at. But in that way, what we're doing is I give people homework all the time when they work with me, and I tell them, I said, you got homework. This is a collaborative effort. When we work with people, collaborative. I'm not just doing something. One of the ways that I describe the work that I do, and it's funny, is I say, I'm your tour bus driver.
I can see. Yeah, I like that.
I take you on the tour. My responsibility is to get you there and get you back safely. Now, what you do on the tour is completely up to you. If you decide to stay in the bus, everything's good. If you decide to get off and look and see what's there in the places that we stop, awesome, right? So my responsibility is to get you there and back safely. And along the way, to help guide in a way that empowers you so that you realize that for all of us, that we have choice in our life and we have a choice in the way that we live and the things that we do for ourselves. And to recognize how we get off track and how to get back, in alignment, which is really one of the, in some ways, the cornerstones of Hawaiian wisdom is a concept called pono, right? And pono is about living in right relationship, right? This idea of being in alignment. Pono, if you looked at the word pono in the Hawaiian dictionary, there's about 15 different definitions for pono, righteous, right action, clear, conscious. And so for me, the idea of pono is about realizing that we have the ability to live in right relationship, because when we are in right relationship here, then our relationships in the world change.
And you may have heard that word in relation to Ho'oponopono, which we'll be going into in just a few minutes. But first, it's that time again. Time to take a short break to hear from our wonderful sponsors. We'll be back with more from James Kauainui right after these messages.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 here on the world's number one talk health radio station and award-winning station, I may say, too. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and my guest today is James Kauainui, who mentioned the Hawaiian concept of right relationship, or pono, before the break. Now, many of you will have heard of Ho'oponopono, which has been popularized in the West over the past few decades as a traditional method of reconciliation and forgiveness. But James has been doing some deep research into it for a book he's writing, and he shares his understanding of it with us here.
Ho'oponopono is something that we did, for hundreds of years, it's so innate in our culture. In the research that I did, there wasn't actually even a word in ancient Hawaii for it. It was just a practice that we did, and the first in as I say, when I was doing the research, because I'm writing a book, the first recognition of that word Ho'oponopono was actually used to describe the editor of a newspaper, of a Hawaiian newspaper,
Oh, really? Wow.
back it was back in the 1830s, I think, as when Hawaii, we were a very literate society, and so they had many Hawaiian newspapers, but the editor of the newspaper was called Ho'oponopono, because the true definition of Ho'oponopono actually is to correct. So A lot of people think about Ho'oponopono as forgiveness, and that's how it's kind of gone across the world in the last, 20 or 30 years, is this understanding of this process of forgiveness. But it's not actually a process of forgiveness at all, and that was not the way that it was used or practiced in Hawaii. Ho'oponopono is actually a method of resolving conflict.
Right. But you can understand how people might have got the impression that it's all about forgiveness because please forgive me is one of the things you say when you are reciting the words
Oh,
of.
yeah, to the mantra. Yeah,
Yeah.
I'm sorry, please forgive me. I love you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Very interesting concept, and it's a concept, and it's a process that actually works, because I met lots of people, and I've had many conversations with people that process has changed their lives.
Yeah.
And yet it's not actually true Ho'oponopono in that respect, because forgiveness was only one piece of a whole range of other things that happen when you go through this process, So it's not the be all and the end all of the practice of Ho'oponopono, let's just put it that way.
No, and it's interesting, but you can see how when you're marketing, let's use that word, something to a wider audience, then you have to simplify it a bit, and at least people are getting benefit. I've benefited from it. I
Yeah,
know
oh,
myself, Yeah.
and right, and I look at it like this: at the time when it showed up, it worked for the consciousness.
Yes, yes.
So there was a way there, it was a way of simplifying it
Yeah.
so that it became, I'm going to use the word digestible,
Yeah.
right?
Good
It was.
word.
So that it was digestible, and then and being in and gain and to be able to gain acceptance.
Yeah.
I guess where I am inside of that is that the more acceptance it got, the farther and farther away from Hawaiian culture it got.
Yeah.
And so when again, how I've talked to you already, the Kupuna are, I'm listening to their guidance, and about 7 years ago they said, you have to write this book. And I said, what book? And they said, the book to explain what the proper process is
Right.
because I think people are ready for that process now. And when we have conflict, and one of the reasons why this showed up in Hawaiian culture, right, was because we lived in a very tight-knit community that was very self-sufficient, like most indigenous cultures, most ancient cultures. It was a closed community, not closed in a way of not allowing other people in, closed in a way that we were all interdependent on each other. Inside of that interdependent, it really was like a machine that worked. And when one cog inside of the machine was out of sync, right, it threw the mechanics, or it threw the synchronicity and the continuity off. And so Ho'oponopono was a way of bringing everything back into continuity, bringing everything back into alignment, so that the community could work together again. So that was really why the process came, because they had no one else to rely on, right? We every person in the community was important. The fisherman was important to the farmer, who was important to the kapa maker, who was important to the kahu, who was taking care of the spirituality of the community, and the kapa maker that created the kapa for the clothes and the sails for the canoe. And so there was this understanding of our interdependence. And I think that's key inside of that. So Ho'oponopono was bringing people back into that place so that they can be in relationship and community with each other. But Ho'oponopono is really this deep self-inquiry, really.
Yeah, but I think you're right that now is the time, if that's what we're talking about, because now is the time, isn't it, for us to really look to our community again and support community, nurture and nourish community, and by doing so, enhance our own nourishment. So it's this two-way thing. And right. That's one of the things that we've lost over the I don't know how, you know, last century, I guess, or since the Industrial Revolution, I don't know, but it went astray somewhere and we need to get it back, I think.
It became less and less about humanity.
Yeah.
You know, and more and more about the process.
Right.
I think is what it is. And you know, you're right. And interesting, because I made more friends during COVID than I had at any other time. And everybody, you know, it was interesting, people talking about being stuck at home and not being able to go anywhere. And I don't say I had a blast, but COVID was amazing for me, because it opened my world up to so many more people that I would not have been in relationship with, you know. And we, as human beings, we did not come here to live solitary lives. We are communal beings. And I don't think people understand how deep that loss of community is inside of them. And they're trying to fill it right now with lots of different things, and they're not able to.
Yeah, and it isn't working.
There's still that emptiness.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. And we could talk forever. I know we could talk forever about all of these things. But we should just wind up. I'd love to know when, because you're writing the book right now, when do you think it might be published?
Well, in 10 days, I have my first manuscript assessment. So I had
Yay.
Made... Yeah, so the manuscript assessment will go out, it'll come back, and then I will create the changes. My goal is to have the book published ready by the end of the year.
Fantastic.
So that it comes out early in 2026.
Wow, so, yeah, that would be great. And so if anybody is listening to this and thinking, I want to get a hold of that, but how will I? Maybe you could tell us where people can find out more about you, A. Also, you know, if they want to work with you, B. And also find out so that they'll be able to say, oh, yeah, the book's out. You're on social media, but tell us everything.
Yeah, if website's really easy. The spelling might be challenging for most people. Easy. It's jameskawainui.com. So Kawainui is Kawainui. So if you just type in James Kawainui, it'll show up. And so you can reach out to me there. You know, you can, and my door is always open. I share my time with people, and very, very willingly. Anybody that reaches out to me, I will talk to them for 30 minutes. You know, so if you just wanted to reach out to me directly, you can just email me at james@jameskawainui.com and just say, hey, I want to have a conversation. So yeah, it would be my honor and my pleasure to guide and support you, you know, for anybody that's looking for help in working out how their lives are, and really be able to focus on what they're wanting to create for themselves.
I love that. I love that. So generous. And do you have a title for the book, or is that not something that you can share?
You know, it's really an interesting thing. I mean, you know, here on my screen, I could pull it up. I have about 15 titles.
I had a feeling that that might be the answer.
And it all depends, because you know, not everybody in the world understands Ho'oponopono. So I wanted to create a title that will help people and connect, you know, with people. So it's not something that's in stone right now, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I understand. I completely understand. But we can look out for it anyway. And no doubt you'll be talking about it and sharing on your website when the publishing date is decided.
Oh, absolutely. And actually, you're prompting me to want to do something, which is to go and update my website to let people know about that.
Yeah, so, brilliant. Good. Well, I've done something positive today.
Here's some of the titles that I'm playing around with, right?
Okay.
Resentment to Resolution, you know, My Ho'oponopono Journey, you know, finding peace through Ho'oponopono.
Right.
You know, at one with yourself, healing through the ancient practice of Ho'oponopono.
Nice.
So.
Yeah. No, that's great. And I think it's great that, I think you're right in that, you know, what we've said about when Ho'oponopono came to the Western mind. I know Hawaii is in the West, but, you know, to the non-Hawaiian mind, right? When it was brought out into the world, the wider world, we probably weren't ready for the deeper awareness and knowledge there. So now's the time, you're right.
And the other thing that was happening on the other side of that was that as Hawaiians, we were experiencing a renaissance of our culture.
Yeah.
And now that that's deepened, there's an understanding that we can share this in a different way.
Yeah.
So coming back to share it in a way that honors the process and honors its origins. You know?
I love that. I love that. And I'm a big fan of Hawaii, particularly Big Island, and long may it prosper. That's if Kilauea doesn't go completely nuts.
Well, you know, she has been spewing 800-foot lava the last months.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, we'll just see how that goes. But anyway, for now, James, thank you so much, and it's been great to have you with me today. So thank you very, very much, and you know, all the best for everything and with your book when it comes out.
Thank you. And you know, you and I have already found out that we could talk for hours, and I love spending time with you. So I just want to tell you how grateful I am.
That feeling is mutual. Thanks a lot, James.
Have a beautiful rest of your day, everybody. Aloha.
James Kauainui there. Did you know that the word aloha has a deeper meaning than just a greeting? It's the Hawaiian word for love, affection, peace, and mutual understanding. And it's used also to define a force that holds existence together. And that's one of the things I love about Hawaiian culture, the focus on togetherness, connection that James mentioned. Do check James's website out. That's all we have time for today, unfortunately. It just remains for me to give you a quick plug for the new podcast I'm presenting with Alexia Leachman. It's called TikTokophobia, and you can find it where you listen to your podcasts as well as on YouTube. And we're getting some great feedback, I have to say. I'm very grateful to everybody who's been listening. Now, my own new website is up and running at jjstenhouse.online. Although there's still much more to be uploaded there. Meanwhile, you can find out everything that you want to know about me at thepracticalalchemist.uk. Thank you all for listening. Join me next time for more great guests, more information, and more practical alchemy. Until then, it's goodbye from me and that nightingale. Aloha.